Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, most of the New Testament was written to help us as Christians to live the Christian life. There's only small portions of the New Testament in comparison to the whole that is directed to lost people. Most of the New Testament is directed to saved people. How to have a strong church. How to live a strong Christian life. And as far as I'm concerned, if we have a strong church and we're living a strong, devoted Christian life, it'll impact the lost people of the world.
Amen.
It just will. It'll be an automatic. It'll just happen. It'll be the fruit of that. It'll be cause and effect kind of situation. The Apostle Paul in these passages was talking about meeting the Lord. How it changed his life. How it lifted him to a new level of living. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, about living your life on a divine level. Now, it's possible for each and every one of us to live our lives on a divine level. I see most Christians not living their life on the divine level, that most Christians are living a Christian life on a human, carnal level. And you're in misery. I don't know why you want to stay in the sewer when you can come out of that mess.
Amen.
I really don't know why you're living there. The Apostle Paul was talking about this initial beginning when he got saved and how it changed his life. It changed his motives. It changed him completely. And I'll begin in verse 14 where he talks about the love of Christ constraineth us. In the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, because we thus judge that if one dead for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. In other words, Jesus died to change you.
Amen.
To rearrange you, to transform you, to make a new creation out of you. Now, if you can get saved and keep living a sinful life, there's something wrong with your salvation. If you can get saved and continue to live a worldly, unchristian life, then there's something wrong with the gospel that you heard. Because the effect of the gospel, according to Paul, is that he died for us to change us, to transform us, that we might not anymore live according to the flesh, but that we would live according to the Spirit. But he says, unto him which died for them and rose again, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Now, I want to pause here and just put emphasis where emphasis is necessary. He talks about the death of Christ. He talks about how that him coming to know Christ and getting saved, him experiencing the love of Christ, how that through all this, he was totally changed. His fleshly, carnal perspective of Christianity was changed. Do you realize that there's a lot of people that think Christianity is just a fairy tale? Just some story somebody made up? There's a lot of people in the world, they have all these preconceived notions and ideas about living a biblical life or living a Christian life, and they're just wrong. They're just wrong about it all. And Paul was wrong about his understanding of Jesus. He was wrong. He thought Jesus would set up a earthly national kingdom in Israel. And he was wrong. All of his thoughts, all of his theology, all of his ideas about the Messiah, they were wrong. They were ideas that were according to the flesh. Now, many of us have ideas according to the flesh. And our ideas according to the flesh, they're wrong. They're wrong. We need to have ideas that are divine. We need to have thoughts that are divine. We need to have spiritual minds. Divinely inspired minds. Now, how can that happen? And I want us to look in these passages, and I'll show you how. All right, he says, from henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, he's talking about His way of life was rearranged. His thoughts were rearranged. Everything was changed. Now, I think that when a person gets saved, everything changes. Everything changes. Now, most of us, we just like to think about a spiritual change. And there's people within our ranks that departmentalize salvation and departmentalize, their Christian walk. And they want to put all of that in one area, and then they want to put their worldliness in another area. And you can't do that. You can't have a dual life. You either live the divine life or you live a carnal, natural life. They cannot coexist. And when they coexist, then it's hypocrisy. Amen. And it's not Christianity. So he tells us, he said, my whole life was rearranged. There was a change that occurred when I came to Jesus. Those things and ideas and pursuits that I had according to the flesh, it was all gone. And I have a different way of thinking. Verse 17, a passage that's quoted frequently and often in gospel messages, which says this, therefore, in view of that, if anybody, any man, any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things, underscore that word all things are become new. I fear there's a lot of people that are trapped in a earthly sphere of Christianity. And it's time for you to come up hither. We have a lot of backsliders, and backsliding is simply returning to a worldly perspective of life. That's backsliding. And you need to be delivered from that and return to a divine level of living. Christianity lived on a carnal level is a backslidden way of life. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, there the Apostle Paul was talking about the worldly. He was talking about people returning to a worldly perspective. Actually, he was talking about the Jews returning to a worldly way of life, the law, in other words. And he said that, why would you turn to the weak and beggarly elements of the world? Actually, those things entrap you. Those things enslave you. These worthless elementary principles of the world, he says in verse 9, the fourth chapter of Galatians, he says, they are a slavery unto you. Why would you want to return to slavery? I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. And people, that the context of that is not us getting up and testifying in the worship service. It's us being set free. Set free from the bondage of this world. Listen, if you are entrapped in the bondage of this world, you need Jesus to help you be set free. Amen. The Son make you free, you're free indeed. And it will lift you to a divine level of living. The Bible talks about this heavenly place. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The heavenly place in Christ is not just us having a spiritual service. It's living in a heavenly place.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Man, how we've reduced what the Bible is talking about to something so simple when reality is something so great. Living in a heavenly place. Living daily our lives in a divine level. Amen. Living the heavenly life while you are living on earth. Amen. How do you do that? Can a Christian do that? Well, our forefathers used to. That's why they were head and shoulders above us, because they lived on a divine level. They were holy, righteous, feared God, and prayed. You could look at them, and you could just tell God was all over them. You guys know what I'm talking about? They lived on a divine level. Even some of the difficulties, the problems that they faced in life. They went through the Great Depression, some of them, and they lived above it. How? Because God was with them. Yeah, God was with them. They went through calamity and tragedy. Even in this country, the wars that we fought. I'll tell you how our country got through it, because people were on their knees praying, send our sons home. Amen? A divine level versus a human level. Which level are you living on? You know, I guess there's stages of intensity in both realms, in the earthly and the heavenly. But I don't think we need to compromise them. And when we do, we've lived a life of hypocrisy. Actually, hypocrisy personifies the image of the divine. Goes to church, sings the songs, stands in the choir, the pulpit, and yet all the time living on an earthly level. Is that possible? For somebody to have their name on the church membership and be living on an earthly level? Carnal level? A human level? Well, we have all those skim the surface lifers. That's just not adequate Christianity. We need to raise the bar. Be raised to the divine level. Have you ever noticed that there are people that they experience death? They're out of church or just barely attend church, or, you know, they're just surface Christianity kind of people. It's just a surface thing in their life. Doesn't mean a whole lot, because you can tell what really means a lot according to the way people live, what they give their time and their energy and their money to. You can tell what's important to people. But it's not important to them until somebody dies. And then they call the preacher. You know, then they call the church and they say, pray for us. We're experiencing a calamity. You know why they call the church and they call the preacher? Because there's nothing here in this life. There's nothing in the carnal, in the earthly, in the natural realm that will help you. You need help on a divine level. And you know that help comes through godly people, through the church, through the divine, through the Spirit. We see that happening frequently when people go through a crisis and they turn to other people for divine help. Listen, don't live your life on a surface level of Christianity. Enter into the divine level of Christianity. You know, today people want to eat their cake and have their cake and eat it too, I guess is the cliche. And you can't. You've either got to live the Christian life or not live the Christian life. One of the two. So, the divine is kind of measured in two dimensions, I suppose. All human relations and experiences can be enjoyed on the divine level. Now, I want you to grasp this. This change that Paul was talking about, that when you come to know the Lord and your life is changed and you become a Christian, everything is raised to the divine level in your life. Everything.
Amen.
Your joy, your peace, your sorrow, sin is raised to a divine level. Your interaction with your husband, your wife, your children, all of it is raised to a divine level. I mean, Paul said, husbands, love your wives. There are commands given to Christians that's not given to the world, though the world should conform to them. Children are to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I mean, even your relationships at work change. It's always raised to a divine level. Paul said, servants, obey your masters in the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. And masters, if you're managing a company, you're to treat your employees different. The Bible talks about that. It rearranges and changes every aspect of your life. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. New creation. The equivalency of God creating matter out of nothing. Wow. Think about that. That's one area, one aspect. all human relations and all experiences are raised to a different level, which we enjoy, a divine level. Second thing that I want to bring to your attention, that most religious experiences can be enjoyed on a human level. You know, you get some satisfaction from going to church. You can get some satisfaction from praying. You can get some satisfaction from living a moral life. There's some aspects of there's a religious experience that people can have on a carnal level. But it has to be deeper than that. You can have an intellectual level of Christianity. I think that's what Paul had, an intellectual concept of religion. But he never had the true religion, which is of the heart, until he came to know the Lord. And there are people today that have a carnal, intellectual aspect of religion, don't they? And there's some enjoyment, I suppose, that they achieve from that. And you know, a church can even spiral out of control. We've been studying the seven churches of Asia in Sunday school, and people can function, they can have fellowship, they can interact with one another, and they can call that church, and God will look down off his throne and say, that's not one of mine. Just like we read about in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. What was that church at Laodicea saying? They said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We don't need anything. And Christ said, you don't even know and realize you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Do you believe that there are churches that are only on the fringes of the divine? Amen. We have seven churches of Asia that we can study and learn about that. Is it possible for us to confuse the human for the divine? Can we have a bunch of lofty people with lowly gods? Can we construct physical, emotional, or mystical idols to identify with the divine sphere and it not be God at all? Amen. I'm convinced that very few churches truly function in the divine sphere. Churches no longer are concerned about the quality of their church, only the quantity. Judgment no longer begins at the house of God. Come on now. Oh, but preacher, we've got a Motors bench. We sing songs from 1832. We have to be sound. Listen, my friend, soundness depends upon our relationship with the divine. Amen. But we've got the right system of doctrine. Yes, we've got the right system of doctrine, but where is the power of God on people's lives? We must have the power of God. That's living on the level of the divine. I think there are even cases where that people are being fooled into thinking that everything's okay because they see one or two people saved every year. Why, God must be with us. We had two people saved this week. What about the two that got saved down at the First Baptist Church? Is that possible? Or one of the other churches that's filled with heresy? That happens. Is God all over them and with them? Let's not deceive ourselves, people. The presence of the divine is always obvious. You know, even Judas Iscariot staged events to fool the other apostles. I'm one of you. I'm one of you. Let me ask you this. Can we really believe in a new birth and not believe in the new life? I know some of you are saying, well, preacher, you're back in the 10th chapter of Hebrews again. Yes, I am. I believe Jesus established for us when he died on the cross, he tore the veil between us and heaven. And he established what is described in verse 28 as a new and a living way. Amen. New way to live your life. Yeah. My friend, if you've not experienced that in your heart, you need to. I'm ashamed of us turning the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit into stomping and snorting. That's wrong. That's not what Paul was saying. He said he was glad to see the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit displayed in the changing of people's lives. Amen. Them living the Christian life, living the new life, living on a divine level. That was the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not some physical display. I'll tell you what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is told us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need again to return to a divine working of the Holy Ghost in people's lives. Living on the divine level. Can a church move to a divine level? I think we can. Can Christians live a life on a divine level? Yes, they can. You know, what he was saying in this passage is that old experiences, I mean, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things pass away. All experiences in every area of our life is transformed. It's transfigured to the divine and the heavenly. In other words, all these lower experiences can be fulfilled and enjoyed in a higher form. See, all of us know obedience. We're typically obedient to the laws of the land. Some of us are anyway. You know, we're typically obedient to our parents. We're typically obedient at work. I mean, when your boss tells you to do something, don't you obey it? We know obedience on a human level. All of us know that. Children know that. But the Bible tells us that we need to know it on a divine level, being obedient to God. Listen, there's no greater joy than being obedient to God. I don't know about you, but I never got much pleasure or enjoyment out of being obedient to my boss at work. I didn't get a lot of enjoyment from being obedient to my parents, really, when I was a kid. Did you? But it blesses me to obey God. There's a higher level of enjoyment in obeying God than there is obeying people on a human, carnalistic level. Even sin takes on a new light. I mean, there's shame and there's sin, there's disgrace and there's guilt and there's sorrow. All those things can be experienced on a human level. You can experience even faith and hope. I mean, I've got faith in this country. I've got hope that we're going to turn things around. I mean, you know, you can have faith and hope in a society, in a generation, in your family, in your friends. You can have faith and hope and love on a human level. I love my family. But everything is raised to a higher level when you live in the divine sphere. I don't just love this country and have hope in this country, but I pray for this country. I mourn over the sins of this country. It's moved to a new level. My family. I love my family. Love my wife. But even your relationships with your wife and your children are moved to a higher level when you're saved. They're moved to a Christian level, a spiritual level, a divine level. You guys know what I'm talking about? They're not just your sons and daughters. They're your brothers and sisters. Yeah. Every area of our life is touched, changed, and affected by what Jesus did. That's the new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passing away. Behold, all things become new. Even your gifts. I believe when a person has gifts, they want to use them for the Lord. Even Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I mean, everything's just changed. Music's even better. I was driving down the road the other day, and I was going down Main Street and pulled up the stoplight, and there was a guy next to me, and he was in a beat up old car, man, and he was just getting into it. I mean, he was singing at the top of his lungs. It was about shaking my car, you know, and I'm thinking, man, this guy's really, he's really jamming, you know, and he was just had his head flopped back while he was at the light, and I got to listening, and it was a gospel song. He was enjoying the good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can enjoy music on a carnal level, and you can enjoy music on a divine level. I mean, when it gets a hold of your soul, blesses your life, and he was singing about Jesus, and it was affecting him, and he had joy in his voice. Listen, you don't know joy till you know the joy of the Lord. You don't know conviction and sorrow over sin until you've been convicted of the Holy Ghost. You don't know shame until you stand before the Lord lost and condemned because of your iniquities. You've never experienced guilt until you've experienced it in a divine way. Listen, there's a lot of people that are taking natural things and they're working in people's minds and hearts to get them to a natural salvation. That's not good enough. You need a divine work of God upon your heart and your life. And when you have that, you'll be changed to a new creation. Amen? Yeah, I'm telling you, this thing's real. I don't know why people want to live in the sewer when they can live in a palace. I really don't. Listen, if we will walk in the Spirit, just walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? That stuff will pull you down. Paul was talking about this transformation from the natural to the spiritual, wasn't he? He had a natural understanding of Christ. But when he got saved, he had a changed understanding, a spiritual understanding of Jesus. And wow, how great that is. Peace. You know, you can have a natural peace, but there's no comparison to the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. You can have love. I believe there's people of the world that's never been saved, and they've experienced love, but they don't know the love of God that we know and enjoy, that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the love that we love now, I mean, people love their country and, you know, they love their family. But when you experience the love of God, you love your enemies. Don't tell me it doesn't raise your love to a different level. You love your enemies and you love your neighbors yourself, Brother Dean, right? Whatever that means. That's difficult, isn't it? That's powerful, isn't it? I mean, it's to a divine level that we experience love, peace, joy. It's at a divine level that we experience praise and worship. Amen. Yeah, yeah. If any man is in Christ, well, when you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The equivalency of God creating something out of nothing. Just like when he spoke this world into existence. You're a new creation. He tells us about new views and new motives and new principles, new objectives, a new plan for life. You seek a new purpose and a new end. Why do you want to live in a sewer when you can live on a divine level? Huh? Why? I'm telling you, sin is a sewer. The world is going to be destroyed. What did Peter say? He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises to some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he went on and talked about the destruction of the world. And he says, you knowing that this world is going to melt with fervent heat, what manner of conversation should you be in all godliness and righteousness? People, listen, we know this world is going to be destroyed. Why do we want to keep investing in it? It's going to be destroyed, amen? Why are you putting all of your investments into the worldly things when you can be investing in heavenly things? What did Jesus say? Lay up treasures where? Where? Where can we do that right now? Can we do that now? Yes, we can. This change, I believe the change in conversion, the change in repentance and faith and regeneration, I believe the change when a person experiences the new birth rearranges their life where that they have a new perspective and a new goal and a new ideas about their life and about where they how they got here, why they're here, and where they're going. It's radical. I believe the change is radical, don't you? A radical change in a person's life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. It's gone. It's gone. All things become what? New. New. I tell you what, I mean, when you get saved, everything just looks different. You get a new perspective. You know, I've even heard people talk about this, and even the psalmist talked about this. You get saved and you go out in the forest and you almost see the trees just giving glory to God, huh? Clapping their hands to the Lord. Huh? You see the birds. You look at the firmament and you say, oh, it's just screaming. It's screaming, God be the glory. Every moment of the day it screams, to God be the glory. You'll see things differently when you get saved. If you live on the divine level, you'll notice those things. You'll see how God is moving and working and glorifying Himself. You'll see the spiritual things. You have a spiritual perspective. Listen, quit living on an earthly, carnal, destructive level. Get on the divine level. Rise above your problems through Christ Jesus. Rise above the sin. Rise above the carnality. And church, let me say this to you. It's time for us to rise up to a new level of Christianity. We sometimes think, well, if we become strict, people will go somewhere else. You know what? In most cases, the stricter you are, the more people come to you. Look at the Mormons, how strict they are. Huh? People are flocking in to some of these more strict. Look at Islam. Huh? I mean, there's a strictness. We think if we're loose, people will love us more. No, if we do what God is calling on us to do, then people will notice that these people are of God. They're of God. There's the divine level right there. Those people are living it. And we need to rise to that divine level and live our lives. Amen. Be blessed every day. You'll be blessed every day. Your relationships will change. They will. They will. You know why we have so much trouble in our churches with divorce, and why we have so much trouble with adolescents run amok you know why we have so much trouble like that? I'll tell you why. It's because we're claiming we're living on the divine level when we, in reality, in our home life, we're living on a carnal level. Right? We need a good, solid, spiritual relationship with one another on the divine level. That's what church is. Being woven together by the Spirit of God. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you know, and you're ready for deliverance, it's available today. Amen? I mean, you know, who are you trying to fool? Why are you lying to yourself? Why are you deceiving yourself? You're in a mess. Your life is full of chaos. And Christ, Jesus, has come to deliver you. Why stay there? Why? Flee to Him. Run to Him. Lay hold upon Him. He will give you life. He'll give you life. He'll give you abundant life. I'll tell you, it's bad. We need to go back to the basics and teach about the abundant life that's in Christ Jesus. There's an abundant life you can live, and it's only lived in Christ Jesus. If you're here today, as we stand and sing a verse of some song, if you'll come, seek the Lord, repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus, you'll leave here changed. Amen? They got saved, they walked out of the church, and everything was different. I mean, everything looked different. People looked different. The sky looked different. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, you was just like in a new world. New world. Why? Because God had saved you and brought you out of miry clay of sin. He set you on a rock. He established your goings. My friend, if you've never been put on the rock of ages, Christ Jesus, you need to come to Him today. Let Christ lift you out of that miry sin and save your soul as we sing.